Okay, ministers, we're going to start then. Have we any apologies? Any others? Okay. We move on then to item number two, declarations of interest. Are we any? No? Okay, we have item three, the URT action sheet from the 8th of October. Has anybody done any like or raise on it? Awesome. So, proposer and a seconder for the action sheet? Motion and a seconder? Gary, thank you. Item number four, folks, we're going to leave that there because Liam is actually in a meeting there and he's going to leave it late, so we'll leave that item until he's available and then we'll go back to it. So, we'll move on to item number five. Jonathan, you're getting through item number five.
Charles, a report on the Atlantic Area Culture Scape project. It was an application that has been submitted through the Ring of Golden Landscape Partnership team, Chairman, and it is to support, so the project ultimately will support the whole development of the geopark concept, Chairman. It's about the best and best connection between the culture and heritage, Chairman, and through the whole aspect, the whole idea of the project, Chairman, is to create jobs and leisure opportunities around the culture and natural heritage, Chairman. We have had a partnership with a number of other partners, Chairman, and the recommendations to accept the offer, Chairman, to move forward. Chairman, to have the resources have been budgeted for and the budget going forward as previous reports to the committee, Chairman.
Okay, thanks. Anybody any comments?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You can see the results of the case of 34 to 35,000 each year, 3,100. Is that taken from, you know, the way this was also put in the landscape partnership boards already? The one that we went in, the additional debt?
So, Chair, at the moment, they are shown in your budget moving forward as additional resources, so it will be required.
Because I know on the landscape partnership boards that the money can be saved as they come to an end. But that's all we have from that.
Can we get a proposer and a factor? Proposed motion and a factor for that?
Yeah.
Move on to item number six again. Jonathan, again.
Chairman, this is a report that's looking at, Chairman, how the Department for Communities went through approach us from time to time to spend small scale 10-year monies, Chairman. And as you know, we have a forward plan with the Council of Higher around 5-year forward plan for regeneration, Chairman. This is a proposal looking at how we could potentially spend small scale monies that the Department for Communities will bring forward to us, Chairman. It's normally a short notice. Normally around this time of the year, Chairman, to be spent by the end of the year, Chairman. So there's a paper that details a number of projects that have been extracted from the master plans, Chairman, small scale projects, and then obviously a prioritisation for how these would be spent. Chairman, the rationale for the phasing of the prioritisation, I suppose, is the direct opposite of how the forward work plan for regeneration is being rolled out, so the anticipation would be that if you have the small scale monies come in this year, you'd spend it in an area that's going to be further down the packing order in terms of the forestry generation plan, Chairman. So that's the rationale as to how this has been worked up. And it is, Chairman, it's dependent on the department coming forward with money, they may not come forward with money in any year, so there's no guarantee that there will be money, Chairman. So the recommendations are there for the committee's consideration.
Hello, I'm Pete.
I think you talked to me, but
no, I don't.
Thanks, Chair. Just in regards to the overarching project, in regards to the cleansing of the streetscape, it's always a contentious issue. You know, the condition of the streetscape, there should be a regular cleansing schedule to upkeep. You know, the ground pavement. I think that regardless of this, you know, initiative, I think it should be a priority from the senior management team that the schedule is in place and there's a regular ground on the streetscape. So just having been more or less, but in regards to the Newcastle scheme, I think there's an opportunity to include that money does become available for street furniture to be replaced in Agnesburg. It's very good condition also. And it's one of our standard locations, so I think around the 10,000 we'll probably cover it soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I have an issue with the overarching scheme and the areas that have taken interest. And we looked through the local development plan and we had put forward as councillors that we weren't going to separate the urban areas there from population. It looks like we have here. Because tier two in local development plan is all our main town centres. And the only one that's in this is our main town centre, which is across from there. So we've got six of the areas that are seven in tier two. And I'm just wondering why. Is there a reason we're crossing those lines?
Sure.
Chairman, the rationale is this is DFC, only this is how DFC prioritizes their spend around the centres. This isn't, I mean, they make the offers of the grant for regeneration. It's cost for them with the alleys along there. DFC criteria for regeneration, and that's why that's what this is based on.
Can I ask what the criteria for DFC then be said with the councillors to see? Is it just based on population thresholds? Because again, we've identified seven towns in our district and six of them are going to be included in the overarching strategy, and one of them in my area is in those, which are right on the top line.
Sure, we can bring that to the next committee meeting. Yeah.
Sure, just a question for Marie. I just come out, the two items are at Tim Key. The second one is we have no problem with, just on the new Christmas tree. Is there not some sort of a consultation going on at the moment? Because I know the chairman of the council met up with Kevin Scullion there and that to see if they were going to go for that option of the new tree or use the big existing one that's actually growing.
I am aware that they did do a consultation regarding Christmas trees, not for this direct route necessarily, but I think the town voted to buy new lights or something like that, so the tree would still be up there for consideration.
Yes, Chair, I would vote to go with the recommendation and I'm still standing with all of it. But can I just ask, especially on the Bullet Hedge one, there's a walking trail around Bullet Hedge and there's actually boards that gives information boards as well credit. But now it's all agreeable with green and moss and nobody's taking anything to do with it. There's only talking about getting some money there to out of that to upgrade them or at least license them and clean them.
That's something we can look at under the general maintenance channel to get that on the front.
Just to back on what Robert said, it's the same with Newcastle. They're saying that there's no particular responsibility for them, and they're getting into a better state, but they're better taken away. I think that they did the place of the time for that. They're certainly up for that. But they saw you to take over that.
Charlie,
you're thanks, Chair. Many go in the Newry aspect of that for any potential understand. And Newry City Centre direction, you know, that's going to be inside of here. But the next two would be a concern that the refit of the canal maintenance boats from the Newry half watch, that's a stuff we would already have budgeted for. I mean, the amount of money that's sanitation is going to go through, if it wasn't understand from the DFB. You'd imagine that would be addressing border dereliction in the city centre. I'll stick on board what Peter said of it, because again, the net break from the door. But in Newry city centre, it's quite broken here. We have a maintenance canal maintenance boat, and the tutorial app works. But that's not something we should budget for anyway, rather than wait for a potential understand from DFC.
Chair, in terms of the maintenance equipment, we can speak to the department about that, but in terms of the neighbourhood services department about that, but in terms of works to the Victorian Ox and this further enhancement, that would be the same thing as the regeneration head work that would be excellent.
Yeah, I suppose things about being a development here. Been used as well as this, the notion of buying the street scrubber scraper. So is that the same one that I was told last week that I didn't bought? I talked to the director yesterday because I was talking about a regime to clean in July of one time after the other festivals. I was told that there's one already in the pipeline. So is this a different one? And as well as that, I'm also looking at the proposal to create the event space in the front show, but we already had spoken about that. I thought that we had agreed in one point. As a way forward to solve a lot of the issues arising from the car park, etc. But that was also in the pipeline to be done. We already agreed this, so I'm a little confused about where we are, but of course the next 3 to 4 years, we're trying to end up speaking over the rain before Christmas. The other work will be done after Christmas.
Sure, I will clarify with Director of Neighbourhood Service about the sweeper, but I did actually visit with him himself last night and he advised that he was aware that our department were working with them to purchase it through this funding mechanism, so he could be referring to the same sweeper for just one box.
Yeah, but given the question, this isn't going to be, probably a fund that hasn't been even, brought forward yet. But I know that we are, it's already agreed that it is into it, so something I'm right to them.
Then clarify
with
director,
but
the
other
one is that they're
buying the sweeper through the pump. Oh, right. Even though it's not an engine, so we have a sweeper. This is the other one is the one pipe already. That won't have the pump short of one pipe, but we talked about the DEA, but the one.
Yeah, well, these are schemes that have potentially gone forward a short notice. In any one financial year term. If your EA scheme goes ahead along there and not included, that'll be done as part of that. But this is a separate project that hasn't flagged or even as
prior. Somebody doesn't already agree to it.
I'm not aware of the work having been agreed. What we're looking at is a new public ground scheme along the whole area.
Oh, yeah,
that's
area.
That's
better.
Sure, this is what I would say to members is that there are projects right across the council that have been considered and are in the open. If we can draw down funding rather than take it from the rate, that's what we will do. And as part of our job as director, to actually try to take that funding. So what we're saying to you as members is these are projects that we're aware are in the offline, in the offering and in the pipeline for work. And what we're trying to do is draw down funding to cover the cost of those so that it's not a direct burden on those.
Okay, I have a proposal from Robert, have we a seconder? Next item on the agenda is item number 7, the Brexit Forum, Jonathan McGill.
Chairman, you have the report what the recommendations are from the Brexit Forum that you held at the conference of September from recommended approval.
Have we a proposer, seconder for the Brexit? Has someone proposed for the seconder? Harry, okay, we'll comment for a minute. All right, move on. Item number 8, our program activity. Start looking at yourself again.
Chairman, this is just a report that tries to bring together a range of programs, very large scale programs, Chairman, that are currently either been implemented or in the process of being developed through the department, Chairman, to get a kind of handle on, particularly where programs are coming to an end and where others will be starting. There's nothing in that report that hasn't been brought to the committee on an individual basis to get approval to move forward or all reports back in terms of outputs, Chairman, which is trying to bring them all into one report, Chairman, to reflect on the scale of them, Chairman, and where the implications are moving forward for the schemes that are currently going through an application process.
Chair, this may be coming up because this comes through, I can't find a decision on it. And we make a decision on these going forward. These have already been decided, haven't they? So we'll just note that.
We can't see the decision. Just want to give it a little bit of time.
Chair, suppose
that
this
event
is
going
to
be
a
part
of the And it is a footnote, but also just a post for you to consider them as well. One of the key things that I've noted within the directorate is there's a lot of work ongoing of significant scale and value right across the directorate. So this is trying to bring together for the committee just to give consideration to that work that and the value. And interestingly, it's something I mentioned to myself just before we've been committee to have to value across the directorate. I think it's important just to highlight the work that is ongoing on an annual basis and the work that is being changed.
Yeah, can I propose a
chairman how to propose the recommendation?
Okay, so I'll do it in first, the motion. Okay. And next item, Jonathan, up again. Master plan.
Our next chairman, how does our circulated report an update term on all of the master plans that are managed through the department chairman? You basically have the four master plans, those have all been reported back, the priorities on how you progress against those priorities through the DEA's term. So the first recommendation is to note and approve the progress to date. Secondly, Chairman, we've initiated this process and this priority action plan, I think probably 2 years ago now, Chairman, and the recommendation is that a number of the actions have been achieved, a number of them have moved on, some have moved on quicker than what anticipated, some haven't. But there has been a good progress on the model channel, and obviously with the change in times and the other priorities, what we're recommending is that we start a process to review those priority action plans against the master plan. We review and take them back a new set of priorities for each of our areas. Channel, some may change, some may not, but it's just taking approval to start that process through the DEAs back through to this committee.
Thank you. Who's Gary? Who is that for that? Glenn? Any comments? Okay, we move on into item number 10, is 1.5. Can you give yourself, Glenn?
So this is simply a report of the pass and finish last time on the 1.5 mark project group trial. Recommendations are approved to report.
Again, if we propose it.
Yeah, Chair, I have to say it's going fairly well. There was a little bit of confusion maybe some potentially whether we're putting in some of the flower beds again. Potentially you speak to some people saying yes, we're waiting for the first time we hear it, and others are saying no, there's no intention to put the back in front. So we just clarify.
As part of the plan, not the application, not the plan, and the application that they heard is not already under consideration, Chairman. There will be no plans to put those back in, Chairman. And should the council choose to do that's another matter. In other words, obviously, it's not the case, but under the terms of the heard is not already done, that will still be considered not part of that application, Chairman.
Would you propose it? I'm proposing the attacker. Sign of motion.
So I'm just on that again. I have numbers at the end. If you look at the initial plan was to recreate the five religions. If you look at the original program,
The way the park was developed was to open it up and make it more usable for events from different other things. That part of that there would be the removal and loss of
garbage. I think it makes all that really show the minutes for that, it's not clear.
Should the council choose to put those back in the future, I'll know the decision taken, but I wouldn't really recommend that they're doing it immediately. That the project's still on for long term, because it was part of the consideration of bringing it back to, you know, its smaller position and where the issue of opening up. So the whole package, there was a lot of considerations on that, the time to open it up and to protect it and more usable space.
No, it wouldn't be an inverse of what was agreed either, fairness there, but you know,
Okay, folks, we're going to go back to item number four, which is the Belfast Region City Deal update, and we're going to also have a film presentation, but before we go into that, I think, Stephen, you're going to...
Chairman, the good news of the announcement at the budget, whereby the Treasury committed $350 million to the Belfast City Deal. People would be aware we made a £450 million bid, but in terms of the £350 million still makes it very doable. We are currently meeting, the Chief Executive met last week. We're still proceeding to the move now is to sign the heads of agreement this side of Christmas. Conscious of the uncertain political climate that we're currently in, we wanted a deal done with the British government prior to, as soon as possible, which means it locks down that. We're looking at also to have a discussion with the British government about bringing in additional funding to the two new programmes that they have announced as part of the budget, which is a prosperity programme, and give us accessibility to that. So that's a conversation we're currently having with the government on that. And the other thing is to looking at other levels of funding, whether by that's through new European programmes, which are plugged in through a number of the infrastructure projects also. But I think that the process is that, you know, it's certainly a major trade, it's a major benefit to the region, and can deliver a number of key strategic projects. So just maybe in terms of just play the video then, and we'll just show you, this is a video, I think members of the World Westminster will have seen this.
The Belfast Region City Deal is a big deal. It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity to accelerate inclusive economic growth for the region and deliver more and better jobs accessible to people from all communities. Six councils in the Belfast Region have partnered with Queen's University, Ulster University, the Further Education Colleges and the private sector to work with the UK Government and MI Civil Service to secure up to £1 billion of co-investment for innovation, digital, transport, tourism regeneration and infrastructure over the next decade. The Belfast Region City Deal partners will jointly invest in the most rapidly growing sectors of our economy, generating up to 20,000 jobs across the region over the next 10 to 15 years. With potentially £1 billion of co-investment, we are focused on making the Belfast region a global investment destination by creating outstanding innovation and research facilities. In an unprecedented collaboration, our two universities are working together with our business partners to plan major new innovation and research investment into data analytics and artificial intelligence, creative industries, life and health sciences, and advanced manufacturing. We will also be sharing our world-class expertise in digital and data analytics with businesses through regional innovation centres. These will build business capacity and encourage people of all ages and backgrounds to fully engage in the knowledge economy, and we're investing in smart districts, technology tech centres, and the next generation digital connectivity for businesses across the region. regional tourism industry is experiencing phenomenal growth. We want to capitalize on that and encourage visitors to stay longer and spend more. We invest in additional world-class visitor attractions, capable of helping to create 25,000 new jobs across Northern Ireland by 2030. These visitor attractions play to our unique strengths, our culture, history, heritage, and natural environment. They're also benefit from our leading-edge capabilities in virtual and augmented reality. So we're extending the tourist route from Belfast through Carrickfergus towards the Causeway Coast and Glen, along North Down, and into the Moor Mountains. We extend the Dublin's cliff and coastal path, and will regenerate Carrickfergus, one of Europe's oldest castles and walled towns, and by the waterfront, building the potential of the captivating Orange Peninsula and Stamford Rock. We'll enhance existing investment plans for host the castle by integrating the castle porch, forest and garden. And the Game of Thrones legacy attractions will offer the first opportunity for the public to set foot inside some of the most iconic locations from the series, including the Winterfell Castle in Moneygrass, as well as going behind the camera to see how the world's biggest TV show was made. Our proposed Belfast Story Destination Hub will invite you to explore the many stories of the city and its people through an immersive multi-gallery experience. It will be the centerpiece in a state-of-the-art multi-venue cultural experience where locals meet and Belfast connects with its international visitors. Significant investment in our public transport network. Phase 2 of the Diamond Service will enhance low-cost access to health, education, leisure and job facilities. The Southern Release Road is also poised to play a critical role by supporting Europe's regional retail and tourism offerings and facilitating trade via One Point Port and Harbour. The Belfast Regional City Deal partners will deliver accessible training and job opportunities, targeting people living in areas of deprivation who've been unable to access employment due to challenges associated with skills, caring responsibilities, or ill health, and with the support of businesses, contractors, further education colleges, and government agencies. We'll rapidly increase regional upskilling opportunities through apprenticeship hubs and a variety of apprenticeship schemes, with a specific focus on digital skills, so that people are primed to secure and deliver on the job we're creating. In short, the Belfast Region City Deal is a big deal. Can we count on your support to make it happen?
So that's the presentation. We have currently got that up on our website at the moment in terms of accessibility, but as I said, the work now begins. What we need to be starting to do is put together, sign the heads of agreement, we'll want together as a program office, start to push this forward, to have our representation and delivering a number of these. So, Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions out there. Members, I suppose this is after the event, but I think it's useful to show the message that we're distributing in regard to our involvement in the deal.
Yeah, thanks, sir. My question's around the money, and I suppose after the Westminster event, I was thinking, I sort of just saw the statue of the million that went off, and it was really good to sit see you here at the 350 million. But we were looking for 450, and then there was a commitment from the six councils and the colleges to add 450 million to that as well.
Just to clarify, the 350 is 350 treasury, 350 from the executive, 100 million from the colleges, universities, and councils. So we still have our ring fence, our 100 million, but we still, the Northern Executive, in terms of Solar Leaf Road, in terms of how we do that, we're still committed to actually delivering on them projects. And we have no indication that will be reduced. Conscious of the political situation we're in, 350 million is down in terms of the UK, but we think we can actually bring that up by tapping into other programmes like the Prosperity Programme, FFN, Community Allied Building Programmes. So what we want to do is give us, traditionally, programmes that are around the UK we haven't been able to access. So the view is that the government and Karen Bradley, I think Marie and Oksana were to meet in Cam Bradley, and she said that she's going to work with us to be able to access a number of the programs that are running in GB, so we can actually access that there to actually do that. But again, get back to about $350 million on the table here, and it's a very durable deal. If it was much lower than that, then we would be struggling. I think we can close that gap with the will from the executive, from the councils, and from the universities in terms of doing that. They're back looking, the universities are back looking at their budget calls to see if there's some way it can be done in that. And we'll come back to you with further information. But, you know, we met, I think Oksana was met with Karen Bradley, we met with the councils, Tim Glenn was met together again, we're due to meet again on the 22nd, I think there's now a meeting with the other chief executives in terms of looking at how we can actually reconsider and deal with that there over the period, in terms of, and also have a conversation with DFP about how we can draw the money down. But mission critical is get the heads of agreement signed, because we don't have heads of agreement signed, we have not been signed. Well, with the heads of agreement signed, then basically that's the centre, that's UK government, the executive, and ourselves locked in, so therefore we know then it's guaranteed. There's no indication that it won't be, but given the current madness and the political climate, I think it's better to lock these things down, you know.
Well, that's good to hear that it's free. I mean, I can't believe I just match on whatever government is out there, so it's good to know that that sort of makes sense from the councils and from the private sector. Because it's hard enough to get projects on with us, and we did get three on putting every morning down, and we don't want to see any projects in the budget in office. And it's probably critical, but I wouldn't want to be right there, Carol Bradley, to do some work.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And just on and then the fact that the infinity is finally signed off, and really it's probably a question for Councillor Hannah. I mean, is there a chance that you guys don't like the treatment is bright to think that are going to end in common supply and that this will this project will go by the wayside?
Aye, thanks for the chair.
For the chair, sir.
To be honest with you, Glenn, you're too hard to think of these things about that. Anybody else have any questions?
Sure, there's a question through the chair to another councillor. Sure, I thought we'll do the same. It is, the chief diagram has
Sure, just on the back of the city deal and the real estate and the competition that exists there, there is a proposal before you to go to Metro and Property Conference again in 2019. We did attend last year, but this year what we would be doing in 2019 would be going as a partner in the city deal. So we would be putting sponsorship to that partnership, which would mean that we would have branding and PR coverage and different opportunities to promote particularly our projects within the Belfast Region City Deal and encourage us with private sector investment. The other councils within the City Deal proposal are sponsoring to the value of £10,000 as well, and we will be working out and coming up with the detail in more detail just what will be provided with that. And then I'm recommending the council delegation of two council officers, not necessarily the chief executive, but the relevant officers and the chair of council attend the conference.
Thanks, Chair. Marie, you know you and I went last year and we were very much the guests of the Belfast City Council, but I think the regional city deal is a game changer for us all, and it was very, very apparent when we were there and we were networking with your different investors. So there's a lot to be gained by being there and being able to have our own branding there. As I say, really we were there a more observing role last year, but the days that have come out of Metron have been fantastic, and I think especially the Southern Relief Bill was a game changer for us in terms of tourism and investment, and I would be more than happy to propose that that trend goes ahead.
Yeah, that's something else proposal, Pete, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm confused about how this grant comes to the spend for 10,000. This doesn't include any travel or accommodation costs of that in 6,000. So 6,000 will come together and divide 10,000 pounds, and then we can ask the director that the detail will come afterwards. I think it should be the way that the detail of 10,000 should come first, and then this grant should come with the proposal. Because we're blindly proposing £60,000 judge Bob Brandon, and that is so wide that we don't even know what that costs. Is the money for the repair. That's not being critical of this one. I think it's a great opportunity, but I think the paper for the one way around. Over here in this detail will come afterwards, but we can catch this money now. It doesn't say well.
Chair, it was just to point out, and when I said the word detail, I was conscious that that would be picked up. I have said that in the paper that there would be a programme of events, both on and off the stand, and that we've been partnering with many of the leading organisations and investment opportunities. When I refer to the detail, I just mean literally the actual detail of the programme, the timing of when presentations would be done, the opportunities that we would have within that programme then to present our project, and actually the detail of what we would be presenting as our project as we work through the Belfast Region City Day proposal.
£60,000 is a lot of money. I'd like to know what it's going to be spent on. They got a pension in the pocket of £10,000 just by picking a figure of the area. You know, there must be some.
Sure, £10,000 is a sponsorship package that has been offered as part of the proposal. It's a sponsorship package which has been, I suppose, bought into by a number of private sector organisations as well. And for that, you get things like Twitter sort of feed, your branding, your opportunity to pitch to investors, private lunches, you know, all of that kind of detail. We are happy to sign up to that as our £10,000 package, but we would like to get more out of the £10,000, and that's where the more detail will come around the package.
Glenn? Trying to have a disciple motion proposal, but to quite honestly, we do need to be on there, sort of, we do need to be networking and grossing tools. I actually think the 10,000 pounds good value for money, so they need to be promoting this along with other 5 pounds, so I'm happy to start with that.
Okay. Any other comments? No? Okay, we have a proposal on the table for that item. Okay, the next number of items from 15 down to 23 are for noting. If anybody... Or 12 to 14, sorry, we're on 12, I'm not familiar with that. 12, tourism accommodation funding.
Chair, tourism growth, as members know, was the number one corporate priority for the council, and set out in our corporate plan and our tourism strategy. In order to grow, positive impact of tourism to the local economy, it's essential that we grow the opportunity for overnight stay and visitor stay in the district. And the paper sets out the potential developments, hotel and tourist accommodation developments in the district, and sets out proposals for select financial assistance from the support progression of hotel and tourist accommodation developments of significant scale and size. It's really just to encourage more visitors to come and stay in the district and to show our ambition in terms of the growth of the tourist economy here.
I do think this is a fixment, and it is showing that things are serious about developing tourism in the area. Just a couple of questions. I just note in the middle of it, the new talk there that it says that I currently the amount is up to 20% of the total Edison cost of a project for medium enterprise, which will terrible be 30% gone for small enterprises. Now, I'm just wondering, where do those two figures sit in terms of our input into it? I mean, I know there's £1 million pot being proposed, which is to be welcomed. So, what type of percentage are we talking about doing here? There are also questions about the eligibility of it in terms of support out of the capital. For developers that have received planning permission, are we excluding people, people who would see this as an opportunity and are going to open and close it, or is it going to be a rolling scheme, you know, where people could, you know, obviously see the publicity surrounding us here, the Minion Bank of Men, and then we said, right, I give it a shot. So, what's the story there? So, percentage wise, what are we given? And what are the details on how it's done?
Chair, yeah, those percentage limits are set by InvestNI in accordance with European guidelines, actually, in terms of the size of an enterprise. So each application will be taken on its own merit, and it's really to do with the number of directors and assets that are held within an organisation. So we will have to look at that through the application process itself. In terms of the grants awarded, it'll be a rolling process as such, but we're very conscious of the developments that are in with the plan and pipeline at the moment. We've looked at those, and it looks like there's 300 rooms that could potentially come online if these developments are supported.
Sorry, if I can just add on that. What we are conscious of is we do not want to become a subsidy to the InvestNI funding arrangement. We want to create a scenario where there is additional support where necessary, and even not all hotel accommodation providers would be able to draw down InvestNI funding. So, for example, if it's a developer with a lease back, they won't be able to draw down InvestNI funding. So, we are continuing to work with InvestNI on how we roll this out, and it is going to be a rolling process then, and each application has to be considered on its own merit.
But, Marie, would you see us as being also as co funders? You know, additional funding provided through a scheme that the InvestNI has an interest in?
Yes, we would do that, but again, what we also have to be conscious of is state aid issues. So, again, and that's why there's no direct answer to how much this would be to each person, because it has to be considered on the merit of the case that's been submitted as a business. So, and we would have to look at what the SNI are doing, so we need to be given consideration to things like the aid as well.
Having said that, I do think that, your billing costs are like how it is. I do think that there has to be some sort of guidance, you know, that it's going to be meaningful and worthwhile. To get confidence to, you know, to the investors and to the developers, you know. So I can appreciate this only, you're only getting the first run on the ladder here, but it's just getting through them, so we just go ahead with it. Mm-hmm. And then, even back then, with a little more detail, when would you see this open?
We would like to have it open early next year.
Yeah,
I suppose what I would say to members, I have to keep reinforcing that this is an application process that would have a procedure and timelines and etc. around it. But again, each case has to be considered on its own merits, because if InvestNI are funding to a maximum limit, we may not be able to step in and invest, you know, so it depends on what's actually happening on that case. We acknowledge, and this is, I suppose, the council acknowledging the difficulty that we had highlighted within our own hotel studies, that there is actually a gap in the development market here generally, in that development costs actually don't meet necessarily the levels of drawdown funding. So what we're trying to do is bridge that gap to encourage investment, and something that the council would have to continually review, because as the market changes, you wouldn't want to be influencing the private sector market or falsely inflating it. So it's something that we would have to do as a running program.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, it's very good. I'm glad to say that both show serious intent for the officers to deliver the priorities of this thing. What I'm looking for is it's sort of, there's language of calling the developers, perceived market failure, you know, and that doesn't sit well with me. You know, we'd rather be looking at clear evidence from banks and lending, you know, rather than having such a flimsy word in it going forward, because it's a big sum of money. So just wanted a clarity on if we're just taking the word that, where is it, unfortunately, recording the feedback from the developers and something like that. Is there any more wanted done to look into this to see that this is really an issue?
Yeah, sure. Our own reports that we've brought before committee before have showed that we do have market failure issues in relation to development. And again, it comes back really to the cost of build versus the return. And that is what causes the bridging gap. So we have got detail that we haven't made the decision on the fact that we think there might be a market figure. We know there is a market figure, and we need to try to work to, I suppose, influence that market figure. But equally, I have to reiterate that we wouldn't want to put ourselves in a position where we create a false economy either. So it's about getting the balance, and not just as we work through the process.
It would be helpful then to be able to make that strong point instead of it actually reading through that it's showing a perception.
Chair, just to review the specific application, and I appreciate it's not on the agenda, but the application is currently sitting with the developer. They have a number of returns to submit to the planning service. We have been anticipating that we would have had it in the November committee, but there's a couple of outstanding reports that they have to submit, and we continue to work with them on a data and everything myself and just for 2 weeks ago.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Marie. I may have some concerns about it. Number one, it says that it's a capital investment, whereas I know that probably legally or certainly we can't make a capital investment, you know, we can't put it in our capital budget unless we have some control over it, unless we own the building, unless we lease it or something. Are we seriously going to have some sort of involvement with the project going forward, or will it come out of a revenue budget which in effect puts 2% straight away as an increase for next year? That's one thing. And the second one is the list of hotels. I noticed, for example, there's a development being proposed in Sherbrooke, has been for a number of years. It's not listed. And would the £1 million target at these six proposals, or will it be an open call to other people involved? And I go back to, it mentions in the report, a recent tourism accommodation study has identified the need. The last tourism accommodation study that I looked at did not see a need for hotel accommodation in the Warren Point Restore area, even though we've lost 7 hotels in the course of the past number of years. Is this a recent one? Do you know what data that is?
Sure. The tourist foundation study relates to this one, the one that we just completed recently, which I acknowledge does not see a gap currently in the Strever One Point area, so that remains as our position at that point in time is what I would say. Just on the capital side of things, I can speak to and get Serena's Director of Corporate Services to give some reassurance on that, but we could put capital investment in, so say that on that basis, and we would be following a model similar to that by City Council as well, doing that for the but I would get more detail for you on that, and I think as well as say, rather than making into the capital quite more course.
Okay, and I suppose the same question after is it a sort of proposal for a £1 million investment year on year, or is this a one-off £1 million spend?
Sure, again, I go back to what I said initially, it's £1 million at this point in time. I think it's something that we will continue to monitor as a council. We recognise there is a market failure there, so you continually monitor that. What you would anticipate is that when you start to see development and investment of that nature happening, that will have an impact on the market and the returns from it. So you would possibly be able to withdraw any potential funding that you would be offering moving forward.
Yeah, Chair, I think maybe overall the problem and I welcome everything that we're doing for developing tourism and promoting tourism and having it as number one in our corporate plan. But in this respect, and funding that's been proposed, it's not our statutory responsibility to do that. And that causes me some problems. But we're going to end, our rate payers are going to end up saying, it's directly from them. That causes me concern. But no doubt that we'll come back to it during discussions for the rates.
Okay, Sherry, what's
the issues have been discussed then? Just I just have support the initial hike security standard for people to develop a hotel in the district. I agree with what Michael said, that there has to be an evaluation initially, and Michael said that, that we'll have to see how effective it's been. I think it's a good initiative. It's going to be obviously a boost in rates, it's going to support the tourism industry, it's going to create jobs. So then points of view, from them points of view, I'm very supportive of the moving forward in regards to it. It'll be a prime pump or an incentive for developers. So I think we should embrace it. Just in regards to planning permission has been given, that's would be the trigger there to consider it, given the grant. Just in regards to pre-application resources, that maybe, how effective are they at present in developing, a good opportunity to create or put in a planning application? We were always of the opinion that, we wanted a one-stop shop, and your director obviously knows that. I am here positive. Opinion in regards to that, but just maybe you want to say how you're feeling.
As those we've had experience of recent planning applications for hotels, and the Prince of Kern referred to one recently, and with some of your talk with them and either, we are developing good relationships with developers that will approach us about those potential planning applications. And what that creates then is the opportunity for early discussions and development right across the directorate. So I can very quickly put them in touch with either Jonathan or Andy as relevant, So we're not just looking, I suppose, at the planning application, we're looking right across the directorate and seeing what potentially support could be coming from if we can get planning through and get development on the ground. I think it is important to say that any tourist accommodation and any investment here would result in an increase to our rate space as well, because any of these properties would be actually paying a rate. I appreciate that it is not necessarily our statutory obligation, and I suppose what we're trying to do is recognise the council's ambition to increase tourism in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Just are there any state aid applications, and if so,
yeah, sure. That's a good way of stating this up for a while ago. Really, it's something that has to be considered on an application by application basis, because it depends on the level of funding, etc. So we are working with InvestNI and our own legal people on the state aid implications or potential implications, so that we wouldn't put ourselves in any position of encountering that issue.
Okay,
yeah,
item number 13,
Moyne State Gateway
project.
Yeah, Chair, just following on an update on Belfast Street and City Gate. Members are aware of the New Catholic Gateway project, which was presented to Treasury officials as part of the City Gate package. Following the budget announcement at the end of October, we're now required to develop an outline business case and to appoint an integrated consultancy team to progress the project in line with City Gate timelines. It's estimated that the development of this next phase will take up to a year due to the scale and size of this project, and the paper sets out some of the detail in terms of moving now to the OBC and not the appointment of the design team.
Okay, number 14 then is the NIEA engagement, the teachers' Wi-Fi to read topic. How are you doing?
Yeah, Chair, this is essentially some of the detail in terms of officer engagement with NIEA. following the notice of motion in September, looking at replacing the sand at one of the new capital beaches on the coastline. So this gives a bit of detail in terms of the considerations with NIA officials.
The discussion about an artificial beach or the promenade or a recreational stretch of beach on the shore. My priority would be to provide a recreational stretch of beach on the shore. Like, we're over a decade of the trying to get this resolved, and there's been obstacle after obstacle put in the way. I understand it's a sensitive area to the beach, and then they have issues about the removal of stones or the beach nourishment that they replenish and sand at this stretch of shore. And what I think the best solution, I think the proposal of Councillor Gavel would be an agreement. It would be on the promenade. We've discussed this even with Ian and the Chief of Tiger as well. But we have to get the situation that is our priority. That's what we want to see. We need to, as I said, replenish the sand in that stretch, keep the area in good maintenance. I'm not recently with Kevin Sullivan, and I'm trying to keep even our pathways when access to the shore is extremely difficult at that location. Removing the stones after they have built up over a number of months. People just can't even get on the beach. You know, so there has to be some flexibility within the NIEA that we are allowed to allow access on the beach. First of all, you know, you have to be able to remove stones and debris from the accesses. And I just can't see how you would not be allowed to do that. In regards to trying to keep the sand, I think it's important that if you look back throughout the ages, groins were used to keep the sand on the beach, and we need to start investigating that. If we do replenish the beach, it's important that we have an infrastructure in place that will try to keep the sand in position. But a re-energy sort of dune system is building up. Most of the dune system at Newcastle Beach has been removed and removed by councils. And if you look at the promenade, a lot of that was sand dune systems. And now they have been replaced by hard promenade structures right along the coastline. And so I think it is important that we do keep the dune system and look at it. And a part of any marine license, I think, should include that we are doing something to replenish the beach and look after the dune system that is forming. I think that is a good opportunity. But if you talk to local people just can't understand why they can't, you know, have a stretch of beach. And I think this is here an important point as well. And I think we should, when we meet NIA, we should be looking at a solution to this and a possibility that we have a management plan for that area. And it's not just the area, but it's the management of river that is accumulated over the winter months as well. Just because the bathing season, we do have some cleanups on the beach, but I think not enough, particularly out of season. So from them, that's my views on it. I didn't get a chance to talk on the motion of staff. I wasn't sure I was on holiday, so this is my first opportunity to have a discussion.
Thanks, Sully. I just agree with all that you said. That I just think it's a robust response from the NIEA, and I think what we do need is actually in here face to face to talk with us. We're not suggesting huge stretches on the beach for sand to be put on. There are relatively small areas that in times gone by have always been sand on, and I think it improves what we have to offer both in Warren Point and Newcastle. Whatever the licenses may be, we're well up to that as a council to make that happen. But I know throughout the world, in some of the most popular resorts, they have to put sand on the beaches. So to come and tell us that it's just virtually impossible, you know, it doesn't make sense at all. But I think in the first instance, we definitely have to speak to them. Jim?
Thank you, Chair.
I would concur very much with Councillor Clark on this. There is a problem there with, should we call it lunch or event or whatever it is. I actually think, to be quite honest with you, to be as environmentally friendly as possible, being that it's the right way to go down the road. It's something in New Zealand. Perhaps, I'm not sure where you're going to it, Marie, but if you engaged the next building in Queen's University or somebody like that there to do a coastal modelling type project, you know, to find out what is the best way to retain sand and start it, because I know when we're in the harbour in Newcastle, there has been dredging that done constantly, so the sand is just in that way for some reason, I do not know why. But at the same time, the Council of Evans support of my motion was about putting sand up on there. A little promenade, if it's an option, it wouldn't be a bad idea, because to go to the beach, go to Newcastle, a little go to the beach, and there is no really no sound there, there's pretty slow right down there, so I'm happy enough to second the Councillor Clark's proposal.
I mean, I don't think you really proposed it, would you? I think the sticky NIA and the I think that the first instance when you were doing the problem is that we would prefer the sound on the beach.
I mean, we are, and that's what I like to do. I've eaten the NIEA, but it's more seated at the bottom of the line. I'm glad actually that this has come back, but I know I've been told in this committee before, the suggestion was that beach, the one might be preserved as sort of as low risk as possible. You've got to be able to make it. So the bottom lines of the first course, I just think the council need to consider providing a beach or a water body that's not tested for bathing purposes. Explain that. What was the rationale then? Is that something come from an NIEA that the sand from the beach area wouldn't allegedly pollute the water? Is that what the notion is? That was both.
In terms of the water bathing regulations, there are requirements in certain coastal areas for the water quality to be tested regularly throughout the season. If we were to look at developing the beach at one point and use that for bathing, we'd have to work carefully with the department to monitor the quality of the water to make sure that it's making sure this continues to be tested and any sand that would be put on the beach would allow a satellite area, I suppose, and then a testing regime to be introduced after that. But we work very closely with the department to enable that if that was the case.
Yeah, but just say that the water body isn't up there.
Well, as I say, water test, I can provide a schedule of the beaches that we do test with water at and in conjunction with the department and how often it takes place.
Thank you, sir. And I suppose I would welcome a meeting, the upcoming meeting with NIEA. Good opportunity to put all these points to them. I think Councillor Clark is a very important point about breakwaters. It used to be there historically, and the condition of the beach was completely different altogether. We had a sand. We have an area of one point beach called Sandy Bottom, and now we can't find the sand on it. So, and I think it's a direct. It has come directly from the removal of breakwaters about 25 years ago. And if we could ask the NIEA to take some of those into consideration. Have they other recommendations? If they have a problem, or what's being proposed or whatever, have they any ideas or proposals, given their knowledge of the subject, about how we can introduce sand again to the beaches by building breakwaters or whatever that might be.
Okay, I guess we have a proposal from William and his family to come in.
I'm really only one of our companies in fire to any other country, I guess, some different beaches.
Yep, Chair, we can follow. We'll follow up with the NIA officials on that one as well, to stay clarified in terms of all the type of areas.
Even if we acquire to the countries themselves. Yeah. Okay, folks, we are now on the noting items 15 through to 23. Marie wants to pick up on 22 and 23. Does anybody want to speak on 15 to 21? Gavin?
Yeah, I've just written there on the form, I think it is, you know.
Which one?
It's number 15, I believe.
Okay, no question.
Yeah. But I'm just looking at the back of it, just in terms of, you know, just how to sort of start the back of the plan performance. And it's just that it's come for us, so it is worth putting the source of it and getting it in a sense, you know. So that one, so really what I was, I just think, for example, next week's plan, but anyway, the only 9 applications. The 10 through the one council one. And there's supposed to be a list of 900 waiting. And the whole, the problem was allegedly that, there was no space on planning committee to pick all these cases that are ready. Yet again, we only have the very low 9 really multiple ones, out of which we'll probably end up only debating or completing. Based on the previous few months, after just 4 or 5.
On that there, and I think as yourself sits in the planning committee, unfortunately what happens is between agents and applicants you withdraw from very late in the day. What leads us our mm-hmm. committee with very little to do. You want to call it that there, but they're completely within their rights to withdraw them at the last minute. So
they're all their own, they're having to go through them as well. But my point was that we started off on the previous months, we got the 22 applications, and then we went to the which would be, but I don't think that there's something wrong that there's only 9 applications coming before the plan. So what is it to do with 9 more?
Sure, members of the Wired New Scheme Delegation is going to be coming in to end their workshop on Wednesday. To discuss that, and I note the concern of the number of writings going on the agenda. That will be changing from December, but we will take numbers through just how that process and schedule will work at the workshop on Wednesday.
And, just now, one was on the last break, I think it was the end of the harvest in Margaret. I think it's 18, is
it?
Just welcome to that. I think that someone in here possibly said that the markets weren't working and should be abandoned.
I didn't realize
that. Sorry, I didn't realize it was you.
Do you want to respond?
No, but just, I think it is someone else maybe on our action sheet, where I did say we had a lot of these, look at the possibility that extend those into other areas, mainly one by their own, just to like the these markets do seem to be working, and even the traders that possibly were maybe clashing with them seem to have welcomed them. So I welcome this proposal that these markets were put out for a pilot period this year, and they would look at extending it to all areas. I suggested 1.1, and it is on the agenda to have one.
Okay, thanks, Gavin. Glenn, you were looking at one of the items, were you? Which one is it? Or do you need to ask?
You need to ask.
No, I'm not going to
start with
something.
I'm sure just what the Dagnall said there, and to be quite honest with you, if one word that seemed to come up enough, a lot of times, what seems to be doing well, seems to be doing this, and seems to be doing that.
Well, do you
have
it?
It's a report, isn't it? I'm going to get a report. Nothing seems to be forthcoming. How much we spent on it? What's the total spend on it? What have we invested in it there? a number of factions exactly, and I got no response whatsoever. And I did point out to you, in my visits to both markets, I saw no agri food that I would call of any substance there. And that was the substantial part of that notice of motion was agri food that the farmers. And they're not engaging with it at all. The only thing I seen that was some of the cheese was there, so they did there, it was very expensive. So if I said average fella, I'm not able to afford them to put them on their bread at all. So I've only just pointing these things out to you, sir. Thank you. I have my concerns about these, and I don't think they're worth them, especially in Newcastle, one's a waste of time. In my view, anyway.
Did you get that there? I have somebody to change. Thanks, Glenn. Who's next? Charlie's asking it.
Yeah, thanks. I think from Yuri probably grounding team, the lower history phase B one. The key next steps, and most of them are probably in fact testing, and they don't have the approval, but there's nothing about traffic management or traffic considerations. Some of the people who live there, they have to suffer at the top of the street there, on the new road. The amount of traffic is used to both ways up and down. There's no proper traffic impact assessment on. I know I said that, and I think I have raised it, but could we just maybe get Seamus to speak with the consultants and see if the closing is already going to have it done?
Well, Trevor, it wouldn't be something that would be done as part of a public ground. See, we can raise the issue and follow it on the department, but I mean, public ground shouldn't directly impact on traffic, so it may do as it's been implemented, but it's an issue in the wider area that we can't raise it.
The problem is it does impact on the residents, and they're key to having the scheme progress. So they take the hump at it, they don't go too far.
Well, that would be dealt with as part of the consultation as well as with how the scheme is developed. Term.
Okay, there's no work on consultation.
There was some public consultation, but not a lot of it. Few residents turned up, but the ones that did turn up, but it wasn't the real deal, if you know what I mean. The intent to have a concern, and we're just asking that someone looks at those concerns and maybe take them on board and see if there's something we can do
to get it. Okay. Well, yourself, mate.
Yeah. Jerry, just to back on what Glenn said, speaking to the market people and also speaking to the public, it's a major success. It's greater football in that area, in around the leisure centre, in the business and around that proximity. They're seeing the economic benefits from it. People are going over and getting coffee or whatever, and a nice cream or whatever. So, there's benefits to that in regards to the cheese and the better than the cheese makers. In regards to their niche products, that's being provided that you can't buy locally. And that's the point of the artisan market. You can't get them anywhere else in the town. In relation to agri food and produce, that will have a negative impact on Greenville. So that's the reason why they're not there.
Part of the motion was,
then when the study was carried out, when they consulted the local businesses, they saw that as having a negative impact on greengrocers. No, it's a pilot, after all. And at the end of the day, you don't want to have a negative impact on the local businesses in that area. And even the fast food, and that's one of them allowed into it, because they would have to take away from the local business. So I just think it's a major success, and I really do support the continual rollout.
Chair, can I just respond to Councillor Hannah's questions? It's £10,000 we pay for the two markets in Down Patrick and Newcastle per year. It's a great bit of council on a trial basis. I acknowledge that the notice of motion was regarding farmers and artisan. We tend to find that the artisan element is the bigger sort of factor, and we obviously are recognising that the market and stuff with the artisan markets. But in relation to the monitoring of numbers in Newcastle, it's difficult as outside the Newcastle Centre. We take what is the best where we can do it, not trade or return. Slightly easier, or completely easier in Dunpatrick because it's through the doors and the Smith and Council, so it's just an easier return. But as I said, it's £10,000 to the to develop those markets and appear to a good return on credit.
Okay. Item 22 and 23, maybe you want to put something in yourself.
Item 22 relates to our grants and just within the action packages, and I have a finger in the item message on my laptop.
So
the action
package,
just want to give a bit of an
update just on our grant. Okay, Sean, as has been reported, you know, continuing through this committee for a number of years, Sean, we have been working in the team along with the department, the fisheries authority, and the sea source representing the private sector, Sean, on a series of studies have been carried out around the development of Kingsfield Harbour. We've also been more recently working with the similar groups in our GLAS term and the council that have previously been committed, often subject to the other departments contributing in a similar fashion to look at development at our GLAS and how that would complement the work ongoing at Kilkee term. We have been liaising with both the Department for Agriculture and the Department for the Economy on this. And recently, in terms of just in the past number of days, we've had correspondence from the department to say that they now want to, in terms of moving this forward, want to look at a wider strategic exercise looking at the future development opportunities for the whole of the fishing industry and seafood industry in Northern Ireland. Charles, I suppose from our perspective, we've gone back to the department because we're somewhat concerned around that approach, and we think that's really. We felt that we were at that stage. We had identified the two harbours that were the most interest. So we went back and asked the department to clarify what exactly all of them were, sort of time scale we were concerned. So it was just using us as an opportunity to update the committee, and we will bring back a report to the board's channel when we get some feedback from the department. We have raised those concerns with them, because this council is committed to looking at both harbours and has made that quite clear, Sean, both in Kilkee and the work that has been done and a commitment to fund similar type works in our draft to look at its needs moving forward, Sean, to attack the industry in the distance, Sean.
I'm not going to sort of a very disappointed to hear that now, but take the time that the department now, I don't know what the reason, because Kilkee and our class and I have been working with the people in Kilkee and supporting them, which is that there was a little bit of that's been done. We need that development at the present point in time, because the boats can't get into our glass and boats not even low tide, but before low tide. And the our glass scheme was, and our load was taking in the tourist part of the tour, the marina was being part of the tour to develop the water there in the marina. But I must say, at this particular time, I don't know what's behind this thinking from the department, but the department has given me permission, one of the officers has given me permission to come down to our lab and do a situation for themselves. But I would like you to chair this. The office has always got up in time with the general qualities, and then we can have a meeting with the department, because at this present point in time, I would not accept that.
Glenn? The general sense pretty much where I would be to answer that I am disappointed that this starts developing now. I've been around the resource here a number of times, and I know they're quite frustrated. And at the same time, Derek and I have talked about this. We have no problem in Kilkee with our glass or Port of Hogan, because no Port of Hogan has problems as well. A lot of their boats have been decommissioned in the last few while, so they have a mess. It's damaging there too. So all these delays on this kind of activity with it, it's not helping, and I know Liam's working on it, so it is just so frustrating, so that we don't seem to be moving forward with it at all.
Well, I just agree with previous speakers. I don't think it is acceptable for that sort of response. A lot of people have been working considerably hard in Kilkee and our glass, and it was about ensuring that they went in a parallel process in regards to the development of the harbours. Our glass is the main growing sector in the north, and the infrastructure in the harbour seriously needs regenerated. We talked about the dredging and the dry dock, but the regeneration of our glass harbour in general, it cannot be put on a long bigger continuum. So I agree with the government to go right back to the next proposal.
Just that Jonathan in here, I think he was gone.
So we're obtaining here larger for information. That correspondence has went back to that tone to the department, Chairman, and we will bring back we'll open back the sponsor as soon as we have it, which is just a key present version of the group.
When we got the correspondence from the department, came out of the blue, and I written to the permanent secretary on that basis to say, listen, this wasn't the direction of travel we'd agreed on, and you know, why are we talking about strategic review now when we've done a significant amount of work in Cookie, we've got a commitment from the department to do the exact same in our draft of doing Cookie, why to change the direction? So we await that response.
Further information on our next open number. I'm free on the
just
a Seamus. Well, come on.
This is just my action. So I got some very historical fact. And in regards to the dealers, probably watch what it's like. This is going on since 2017 August. That's two summer seasons. And you can't resolve the issue of the leasing of the dealers. I think it's almost happened. There's a lack of tourist infrastructure in Tullymore Forest Park, and Tullymore Forest Park seems to be kind of left behind here, but all the rest of the forest parks, there's development plans or whatever, but Tullymore seems to be very little interest in what it has to offer. It's one of the best forest parks in the north, and it hasn't got a people.
Chair, we do, we consider it to a priority ourselves, and we're very keen to have it actually operational in some form in this season. We continue to liaise with Forest Service. We're waiting on the evaluation from LPS. We have draft leases and things already agreed, but we need to see the evaluation from them and set up on the citizenship. We will be in touch with Forest Service and LPS for them. They take a long time to.
Okay, 23 then.
Sure. So this is the Corporation Ireland are holding a study visit to the student team level. They've been inviting both members and officers on Wednesday the 28th of November, raising that the committee for lots of people to get the opportunity to put their names forward, even if you don't get them today, if you could liaise through your island name.
Jeremy, just to pick up on that there, conscious that I'm involved in that cross-border forum, it's primarily because it's to show how the Seamus Centre is working as a visitor centre. And again, a number of councillors are coming from the South of Ireland and involved in a number of projects. So again, they're keen to have a number of councillors with North and South there to discuss how visitor centres could act as a regeneration for small towns.
Okay, if we could ask any members of the press and public for the next item, please. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information related to the financial or business affairs of any person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. Proposers have been proposed Robert Stack and Pete. Okay, so they submit an application to the Tourism NI Challenge Fund for the development of a digitally focused AR/VR visitor experience at Cape Gullion and Kilbony Forest Park, and allocating 150k of match funding to the project within this 18-19 financial year on the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor McNair. Okay, folks, thank you.